You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligan, stupid.
Hey, Christian, what an amazing day of football. Where are you, dude?
I'm not there.
Yeah.
That's
why
am I
sitting in your seat?
because I am home, your boy got.
Yeah, man, he got finally, and it wasn't from me. And I remember when Christian texted me, and he said, dude, I hate to say this, but today's show is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
I mean, I didn't say I hate to say this. I said I love to say this.
Yeah, of course you do. We all love to say it. But you are feeling good. You're feeling good.
Yes, I got, I tested positive for COVID 3 days ago. Mm. And so as you can see, I'm gonna show everybody.
Our only 2 day break and you, you get to have a house all to yourself.
I got the hat trick. The can
it's
you
too
see
bright.
It?
You can't see it. Look at you.
I got the COVID hat
Damn.
Trick.
You got a triple double, bro.
but so yes, I did test positive. I was honestly dealing with just like it felt like a slight cold. I'm glad I got the second booster just a couple weeks ago because this it really wasn't. I don't want to sound like, hey, it's not even a big deal, everybody. It's just a slight little cold.
It's the flu, says Christian Polanco.
Quote me, everybody. Yeah. But I, because Alexis, you really recently were sick, and
yes.
it kicked your ass.
It was a lot worse for me.
Yeah, and it was basically maybe a day and a half of like, I got the sniffles for me. And so it really wasn't that bad of an experience. Don't recommend it to anybody. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
But it's a good reason. Look, I slacked off on getting the booster, the fourth shot. Mm. I waited a little bit, and I was like, I'll get it soon. And I was like, hey, why do I not feel great right now? I should take a test. Oh, yeah, it's probably not a good idea that I coughed in my wife's face all night. And then she got it. So,
okay. Well, yeah, that's not, again, okay, keep your bedroom things to yourself.
Listen, I'm here to spill my truths. You feel me? Okay. But yes, you are not able to come into the studio, but you are good enough to do the show. And that's all that's important. Exactly. And I'm glad you're feeling well. But you've also had a chance to watch, today's matches.
Oh boy.
The excitement. And we're going to get to that. But I do want to get to our interview. We have a special guest in the house.
Yeah.
Just started watching soccer at the beginning of this tournament, already fully in.
And there's probably a lot of people that are new to the Cooligans, new to the sport, and want to hear themselves represented in the show. And
right.
Our guest, Lil Frex, is that representation.
There's probably some people who like, yo, man, I barely watch soccer, but now I do. How come you guys are a little inside baseball? Well, let's talk to someone who's inside baseball, but also outside baseball. And that'll make a lot of sense once we get to it. So check out our interview with Lil Frex. Christian, what an honor it is to have a star.
Wow.
A star of Amazon Prime's. Oh, my God. A League of Their Own. But we know her.
Okay. I thought you were just going to say Amazon Prime, the company.
That's it, bro. Oh, my God, dude. She is.
She's shopping on Amazon Prime all day long. She is a star on the platform.
The number one office manager at the Amazon Prime offices. She you guys got to see it. No, this is an absolute honor that we both get to meet her. And don't worry about that. You're in a box, Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, I know her from the stage. I know her from these hilarious videos she puts on her Instagram that I can't believe people keep asking you questions. She's also my wife's friend, which is probably the top of your resume. Lil Frex, everybody.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is it. Frex. This is huge.
This is the name in soccer.
Uh-huh. Well, some of you might remember her from the last World Cup on the women's national team, right?
Yes. I'm sure. I was a walk-on at Fairfield. and I joined the women's national team.
Yeah.
Wow. Incredible. Interesting. Similar to Matt Turner, which
that's
is pretty
why
awesome.
I was. Isn't that crazy? Okay, so literally been watching soccer 6 days. I know. Everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, let's give the audience a little bit.
I have
of
something to say about Matt Turner. But
yeah.
On.
Okay. Let's make it positive because he's our friend.
No, it is going to be positive. Cool.
So let me give some context for everyone watching or listening. Lil Frex I've known for a while now. We've never once spoken about soccer, but all of a sudden, during the World Cup, you have nothing to do.
Nothing.
So you decided to, for the first time in your life, watch what you didn't even know the World Cup existed before mm-hmm. this. And now all of a sudden, you are all in. You're talking about Mbappe. You're talking about Messi.
I'm talking about it all. I'm talking deep stats, deep yeah. cuts. I'm you're talking betting? Narratives.
You're
I'm
gambling?
Betting. I'm on DraftKings like you've never seen.
Shouts to DraftKings. Okay. That's the reason this network is here. Yeah. Shouts to DraftKings. Christian, this is the first person. We talk about the World Cup bump, the World Cup bounce afterwards.
Right.
This is the first time we're hearing about it. We're seeing it in person.
Very much so. And the fact that she says that, you know, that Frex is saying that we're the name in soccer is already a good sign, okay? Yep. It shows that the daily episodes mm-hmm. have worked, you know? Us exhausting ourselves, me catching COVID, it's all been worth it for this moment.
I've had a bad knee, I've had a bad heel, and now I have a swollen toe. And let me tell you something, all of this apparently tied to my back, but all this worth it. So that someone like Frex could be a fan of the sport.
It is worth it because when the games are over at 4 p.m. every day, I feel like a come down. And I say, well, where am I going to go for more soccer content?
Yes.
And I've been going to the Cooligans.
There we go. I mean.
So, and I've known.
Thank you for coming in, Frex. That's all we need. No. What are your thoughts on someone who's not watched the sport at all, but all of a sudden you've been thrusted into what I consider is the best World Cup
Fantastic.
I've ever seen?
Fantastic. What a cup.
Best one I've seen so far. Right?
I sit on the couch. I'm just going to myself, what a cup. Fantastic. And like, I'm joking around, but I'm being dead serious. I love the World Cup. I don't know if I love soccer yet. We'll see what happens when it's over. But I do know that I love the World Cup.
This is kind of like when it's the Olympics and you watch figure skating. You're not going to follow these people
right
afterwards. Well, but during this moment.
We'll do everything we can to keep you a soccer fan after this World Cup.
I'm going
to
give it a real go.
Nice.
There's still a lot of entertainment to be had. But I guess my first question, because we I think Alexis and I are very much in this soccer bubble. Mm-hmm. We don't really get to speak to, I mean, and I say this with all due respect, normies who are not obsessed with the sport.
Civilians.
No?
Yeah, idiots. I was telling him, I worked at a bar during the last World Cup, so it was obviously happening. Didn't even register to me. Raise my consciousness.
Why is everybody so loud? Why are they wearing the same
Literally,
colors?
People are you playing the game? I'm like, what game? No, we're not.
So my first question to you is what changed this time? What was it about? Was it a particular moment, a particular match that you were like, wow, all right, I'm going to give this a real shot?
It started just as a decision. I heard that the World Cup was coming up. And this time of year is always kind of slow in the entertainment business. Like, I kind of have a lot of time during the day. You know, we do all our self-generated things, but it doesn't take all day.
No. If my family's listening, I'm busy all day. That's why I don't call. But otherwise,
if we're being honest, it doesn't take all
Which
day.
Which we do not do on the show.
And I feel, you know, you start to feel a little untethered, a little lost this time of year because you know you're heading into the holidays, which is very exciting. And I just heard that the World Cup was going to happen, and I started texting my friends, like, should we get really into the Cup this year? And everyone was like, yeah. Nobody's done it but me. And it took me a few. I just literally said, we're getting into the Cup this year. And then I did nothing about it for days. I didn't watch any of the matches. Then I accurately predicted that Tunisia would win 1-0.
Just randomly.
And that's what happened. And I go, okay, now I'm getting even more in.
I must be a soothsayer.
Then we're getting on DraftKings involved. And then that USA game, the day after Thanksgiving, it was a Friday, so it was just so fun.
Yeah.
I've been in ever since. Every single game, waking up, excited, like Christmas morning.
So one of my favorite things, Christian, you weren't here for this. Frax hung out with us and watched this last match at the studio. And I referenced the Guardian article about how they hate the coverage. Mm. And Frax's like, they're talking to me.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic. They're talking to me and they got me. I'm in.
Exactly.
I'm losing hundreds of followers a day because all I do is post about the World Cup. Nobody wants to hear it. But I'm passionate and I won't stop.
And that's exactly what I said. Yeah. I was telling Alexis. Alexis was like, oh, I hate the coverage. Oh, this guy has making some points. I'm like, bro, it's not for you. It's not for me.
I want Fox, if they're listening, to know I was not degrading anything about this coverage. I was simply trying to make a counterpoint to Christian. Thank you very much. But this is an example we talk about all the time. It's like, who do you speak to? Do you speak to the diehard soccer fans, or do you speak to the entertainment business person who might be slightly degenerate and gambling before they know the sport and is watching it for the first time? And luckily for you, they are talking to you.
And I'm the hook, line, and sinker. Like, I find it fantastic, the coverage. I find the little jingle fantastic. There's no commercials. What a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
What a breath of fresh air.
Everything I love. TV channels hate.
Yeah. But I love that this is this feels like a, you know, like a focus group meeting. You know what I mean? Like we're seeing what details you're connecting with. That nobody has mentioned the jingle. It's a pretty it's
solid.
It's like a regional jingle, so it makes you feel like you're there.
It does have just a smidge of Middle East flavor to it.
Does. Yeah,
but it is universal.
It's universal. Yeah.
You slightly forget like the tragedies that led to this World Cup.
Yeah, so that's the other piece. What a narrative. I mean, I've heard they're admitting to 600 people died. We know it's in the thousands.
We're getting it up there.
I'm reading the migrant worker accounts.
Yeah, yeah.
Of what's going on there. They're not even letting them go to the games.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Now, are the players allowed to speak out, or it's not their thing right now?
They
do it in their own ways. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the. I was having this conversation with somebody else about like how, you know, we tend to get upset with or want more from the players. Like the players should say something, but a lot of these guys, they're kids, they're young. This is their first World Cup, second World Cup. This is such a huge opportunity for them. Why are we blaming the players?
Right.
And why are we asking the players to do anything when the adults, the FIFA adults that should have prevented this from happening, did not?
Right. I agree. Yeah. No, it's FIFA's fault. Everyone seems to hate FIFA. I mean,
also, don't fuck up the bag. Right? I mean, if you're a player, you're getting paid, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Look, but that's how they put up all those cities, those new cities in the deserts.
100%.
They just bring in migrant workers, mm-hmm. and they work in 120-degree heat. No, seriously. Literally, they hold their passports. Yeah. So
I do like that when you said, I'm getting all in on this cup, you even got into the controversy of it.
I think
it's not just about kicking the ball.
Something I love is just the narratives and the storytelling. Like, I have Argentina winning my bracket, obviously, because everyone, you know, the story is this is Messi's last cup.
Yes.
And never heard of this man in my life. Apparently the most famous man in the world. Literally, I've never heard of these people. Yeah. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, that's his name.
I look my man up. He's 500 million. He's the most famous man in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I go, this information is not getting to the average American. It's not.
What do we have to do? Because I mean, Messi is not a great-looking guy. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah, no, he's not. But he has the fade, which bumps him up.
Right, he does.
The fade
is
so cute.
You've been big on the fade.
Well, see, another big thing into unlocking the cup mentally for me was when I figured out the team formula.
Uh-huh.
8 fades.
Yes.
1 Pete Davidson. That's frosted tips, full bleach, fun stripe.
Right.
1 baldy, too old, lot of heart.
Right.
1 wild card. That's a Subway busker with a man bun or a 14-year-old child.
Right.
You could swap it up.
Too young to be here?
Literally.
Yeah.
No questions. Ass, my man. But no matter what country they're from.
I'm saying you should be a general manager. This is this is a perfect roster right here.
Yeah, that's it. And it doesn't matter like what culture you come from. Mm-hmm. The Asian countries, instead of doing the fade, they have like a different style, but it's still 8 of that style.
You got 8 of those.
Plus a baldy, plus a wild card, plus a Subway busker.
Asian Pete Davidson.
Yeah, exactly. Literally. Yeah.
I do like that there's some manager going like, damn, we got 2 Pete Davidsons. Yeah. We're never going to make it.
Sometimes there are 2 Pete Davidsons. I'm going to get them off the field. Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah. Frank's is like, you're going to have to
say that's why every time the Netherlands, that man with no fade keeps scoring on my country.
Yeah.
Get this guy off the field.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. I love what you just said about the narratives. And I think that is going to be the thing that keeps you watching soccer. Because the games themselves are entertaining. They're fun. I mean, people pick apart the things that they really enjoy about the game, but the storylines are the thing that I think don't really make it to an American audience, which is why I think our show exists and what we try to do. But there's just an incredible amount of drama. Like, I'll give you this one. I mean, maybe you heard at the beginning of the tournament, but there's a player, Ener Valencia. He plays for Ecuador. Mm. He notoriously he owed money for child support. And there was a game
like
that
it.
he
gets better.
He pretended to be injured.
Well, the police were waiting for him to finish the game to arrest him.
In Ecuador. Copy.
And he gets on like a cart, you know, like an injury cart to get out, like a gurney. And they drive him basically out of the stadium while police are chasing him, and he gets away, and so he is not arrested to pay this child support.
Fantastic.
So that's he scored like 4 goals in the World Cup.
Did you see the one about the one? It's like a reel going around. One team dropped the paper. This just happened. The other team picked up the paper, gave it to the coach, and made a last-minute substitution, and they won. I've got to look it up, what it is.
Oh, because sometimes the coach would give a paper to a player with a note on
it. And they dropped the paper, and you see they did the whole thing of, like, the kid picks it up, gives it to his coach.
This is what I love about it. There's only like 17 rules in the sport, right. So everything else is just mayhem.
And one of them is you can't run down the middle, apparently. Yeah.
So Frex has complained quite multiple a bit about playing on the wings. She's like, why doesn't someone just run straight down the middle? Which is a very NFL way of looking at it. But at moments where I'm like, okay, Frex is right now. I mean, we should be playing a bit more centrally.
She's like, why isn't Messi shooting the A-gap?
Yeah. You know?
Sometimes, I mean, obviously, easy to say from our vantage point, sitting, eating pretzels. But sometimes I'm just going, what are they doing? Now, here's a question I have for you. Are they actually running plays, or is it just random?
So there are systems that they play in that where they know, like, if the ball goes here, these people need to do this. So they make adjustments. Okay. But a team like Argentina doesn't really do that. Argentina is like, look, we have Messi. You know what I mean? Right. And everyone else, try your hardest.
Okay.
Give the ball to Messi. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get in the way of a shot and get open if he has the ball.
Right. Okay.
That's kind of what they do.
Okay, got it.
So I want to make sure we talk about the show you're on, A League of Their Own, because obviously it's about baseball.
Dude, you should pitch that it's about soccer next season.
Right? And it's called A League of My Own, bitch.
There you go.
It's a soccer show.
Casting's going to be easy. We need 8 fades, 1 Pete Davidson.
Easy. 1 Baldy, 1 child.
So I want to, for also, Darcy.
I love Darcy.
Is on the show, and she, I think I had her as a improv coach for one session. Literally one of my favorite improvisers when she was at UCB.
She's and the best.
Makes me so happy to see her success. One of the best human
Angel
beings.
Angel on earth.
Since the show is about baseball, Alexis is Cuban, I'm Dominican, and we're into soccer, and not really into baseball as much as we were when we were younger.
So we've been disowned by our families.
Mm.
How do you feel about baseball nowadays? Because I know a lot of times people complaining it's a little too slow, commercials, you know, soccer is a little bit more, subjectively, it is more entertaining to me, but how do you feel about it nowadays?
I mean, look, it's hard for me to explain how much I do not care. I'm trying to think of something that means less to me, but it's hard.
Good. All right.
Did you watch
answer.
It before you had to pretend to play it?
No, I did. I watched it, and then I trained with the MLB guy that's like my cousin's friend. Sean Casey is the man in Pittsburgh, which is awesome. And then like we had a coach, Justine Siegel, who's like, I think one of the first women MLB coaches, this woman, Justine Siegel. So she was like the coach on the show.
Are you good?
I'm nice. I have wingspan.
Is that helpful in baseball?
It's helpful for everything.
Are you like center fielder, diving catches?
Like,
she does. Like the Jordan poster.
Yeah, I do have wingspan. That was actually in my audition. They were like, do you have baseball experience? I was like, I do not, but I have wingspan.
Yeah.
I have wingspan experience.
And they're like, You're booked.
How soon can you get here?
Kid, you're the star. What do you think about soccer after the World Cup? There's going to be a little bit of a letdown, but the English League will pretty much start a week later.
And this is a lot of my favorite players, I believe.
They're certainly, first of all, the league is in English, so it's a little bit easier to follow.
Yeah. Oh, this is a question. What language do they argue with the refs in? English?
Mostly English.
Copy. Okay.
This is a good question. That's a good question.
We've
people
asked
have
players
asked,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's usually... the English is kind of the default language, especially at World Cups. But this has been a thing. This is an interesting fact. There was like a game in, I think, the 70s or the 80s that the referees, did not all speak the same language, and there was some confusion over a call, and they didn't understand each other, and it led to like the result of a game, like somebody lost. Wow. Because so then after that result, FIFA changed the rule that all referees have to speak the same language.
Wow.
But usually for World Cups, English is is the default. Yeah,
like the Netherlands team will be arguing to like a Romanian ref in English.
Yeah, that's why I'm always like, what? I mean, just it's so many levels working.
Yeah.
Wait, what'd you ask? Oh, yeah. Okay, so soccer after the World Cup.
You think you're going to be able to at least try to attempt to stick with the sport?
I'm considering going to Paris to see Paris Saint-Germain.
We've been.
What's it? Saint-Germain? Is that the name?
Paris Saint-Germain.
Saint-Germain. I'm a quarter French, so.
There you go. Are you?
No, yes, I am. I have a grand-mère from Paris.
I don't know what that means.
It means grandma. My grandma's from Paris. I call her grandma.
Bro, you come across as 1,050% Irish.
Yeah. Well, except for the 25% grandma.
Yeah. I forgot about your grandma.
Yeah.
Four-cylinder? Six-cylinder? What's the grandma? So you're going to go Paris Saint-Germain, which is like...
I mean, wouldn't it be fun?
Dude, first of all their merch is incredible. It's all Jordan brand. Wow. Yeah, and Mbappe plays there.
That's why I love Mbappe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's
and
Mbappe,
I also love Embolo. So I loved his narrative because he's from Cameroon.
Right.
He scored on Cameroon. Didn't celebrate. Then I saw him have a great game. So then I started betting on him. And then the last game, he's a ghost. He's nowhere to be found. Yeah. I said, well, I guess you can't judge everything by one game.
No.
I'm like betting heavy on this man.
And it's been downhill ever since.
Yeah, and it's, but I did have Morocco, which was nice.
There you go. Who do you think is winning this whole thing?
Argentina. But I have the finals coming down to Argentina-Morocco.
Whoa. Hold up.
So Morocco beats Portugal and I'm assuming France?
France or England?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. No. I did my brackets. Like, I didn't know as much as I know now.
Right, how did you pick Argentina? You just assumed they were good at soccer?
Yeah, it just felt like if there was a team. Like, it just felt like that's their thing. You know, like they have them playing since birth, since the womb.
Yeah, but it's good that stereotype. We learn what the stereotype like Argentina. Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah. They go grill meats and they kick a ball. That's it. Put them in there.
Having a good time. They're having a good time.
So how did you feel about the U.S. team?
I was really happy.
Get out of the group, but they did. They lost in the first round.
I was really happy about them. Yeah. It was exciting. Like the USA games have been so fun.
They were incredible. Great vibes.
Great vibes.
Any favorite players from the U.S. team?
I liked what's the kid's name? Like it's like
Yunus,
a Y.
Yunus Musa.
No. With a
Yedlin.
Yahweh. Weah.
Tim Weah.
Weah. Tim Weah. Yes. I like Tim Weah. Yes.
The New Yorker.
So because I saw him do an interview and he's like, "We all meditate together.
Yeah.
We listen to Drake. We do yoga together." I was like, okay, love this team. love my team.
Rex is like, I need to get on the men's national team.
Jeez, I mean, he likes the things I like.
Yeah great. I go, fantastic.
Did you know that his father is a famous soccer player?
Of course not.
Okay. And also, currently the president of Liberia.
Really?
Yes.
You're kidding.
No, his father, George Weah, very famous soccer player, was one of the best ever. Currently the president of Liberia.
But he grew up here? How did people end up on the team?
He had a kid with a woman in New York. That's Tim Weah.
Love him.
Yeah.
He goes, he's just like, we meditate.
Yeah. We listen to Drake. You're like, I listen to Drake. I meditate.
They're like, what are you playing this one? He's like, a little Drake. I was like, I followed him right away. I'm following most random players.
Embolo.
The goalie from Morocco is my favorite, Bono.
Bono?
Bono, yeah.
I love Bono. I followed the most random teams, the Spurs. Who is that?
Oh, God.
Are they bad?
Oh, you're off the show now.
Really? Are you bad?
They are the Red Sox to my Yankees.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And they are perennial losers.
Okay.
The joke is that they don't have, they don't need a trophy case because they never win.
I like that. Yeah. They just, their clips started popping up. I go, I'll give a follow.
You got to go Arsenal.
Is that the team?
That's my team. That's like the best.
Okay. Don't say anything,
Christian.
So that's our goalie.
Yes.
Matt Turner.
Yes. You said you wanted to say something about Matt Turner.
But now do I? I don't know. Well, we were laughing because I kept going, he's so good. He's incredible. I kept going, he's incredible.
Yeah.
And then the announcer starts talking about, he was a baseball player, just decided he wanted to play soccer, walked on at Fairfield.
Yeah.
And I go, that's like America. They don't start them young.
Yeah. We're everyone else on the team, yes.
Do they start young?
Yeah. Christian Pulisic was already playing in Europe at like, 16, 17?
Really? Fev.
Anyway, Matt Turner.
He was 14.
Yeah, he moved over there when he was 14. Everyone else, yeah.
Matt Turner listens to the show?
Yeah, of course he does.
My boy.
Yeah.
He's so good. Best player.
Yeah, he's incredible. But he was one of those players that was good at all the sports. There's a video of him at Fairfield, and they say, where do you see yourself in 5 years? He goes, hopefully working in an investment bank.
Wow.
Six now he's 28, so a little couple years later, he's World Cup.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Incredible.
But one of the things that I don't know if you saw this girl on TikTok, her video, it was a Moroccan girl. Mm-hmm. And Bono, you mentioned the goalkeeper from Morocco. A lot of women have been pining over him. They find him very handsome.
Really
very
cute.
He's very attractive.
Good looking guy.
This Moroccan girl, her video went viral because she's like, I can't understand why all these women are simping for Moroccan men. They're the worst men. Don't do it to yourself.
Oh, wow.
So there's something that happens. World Cup, I think, ups the attractiveness.
They look good.
Of certain players, of certain countries.
It's the whole world watching. If you got a good fade, right?
Yeah.
You got to have a good fade. And you play well. You're getting a lot of camera time.
And it's probably the best looking sport. Because you can't, you have to be moving constantly. You're just in good shape.
It's a good point.
Baseball players, you can just smoke a stick and then walk right out on that field. Yeah. Not a care in the world.
My grandfather tried to stop me from playing soccer when I was young. He showed me fat baseball players. He goes, look, you have a chance. I swear to God. He was like,
I've said this a lot. I have this theory that you cannot be a professional soccer player if you're unattractive. There's so few that have made it through.
There's
Wayne Rooney was.
Wait, who listens to the show? What can I say?
You can say whatever you want.
Okay, well, there's. I found literally one mildly husky player in the entire World Cup.
Yeah,
he's on Poland.
Yeah, there's not many.
He's just a little doughy. He's a little doughy, and that's like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, there's some wildly attractive players, right?
Yeah.
And we, those the tens or whatever. But
here's one of the greatest players of all time. This is when I'm showing Frex a young photo of when he played for Christian's favorite team, Everton. So he's 17 years old in this photo.
Okay.
I mean, but this is a terrible example.
There's no better photo.
It's a 17-year-old kid, dude.
Yeah, but he's like 40 now.
I'm ready. This is entrapment, but I'm ready. Okay. Wait, what are we looking at?
How attractive. not old. You don't have to be attractive to play this sport.
I'm just saying.
In no way, shape, or form.
You do. No, but you don't have to be, but it makes you attractive.
Okay.
Oh.
But
the physicality of what you have to do in the sport is what makes you attractive.
Mm.
Here he is 3 years later. This is 20 by 23 years old.
Okay.
All right.
See what I'm saying?
Wait, this is old though. This is not a modern soccer player.
This is from 10 years ago.
Yeah, this is not modern.
Okay.
More
so now
10.
You got to be pretty. TikTok era.
Yes.
Yeah, now you got to be pretty.
They have, no, literally.
But you think the sport makes you pretty?
Yes. And I think that they're branding themselves in a way because they're playing in the World Cup and it matters how they do here, how much money they get on their little teams, right?
Yes. Little teams is hilarious.
I love this.
You notice how they brand themselves. Like they do the haircuts because of that,
right.
I think.
They're associated
or they
with
have
certain
something,
haircuts,
they have like
tattoos.
A thing that makes them recognizable. This is what I believe.
You should get into sports branding.
This is
I should.
You could be an agent. You already right. know the ins and outs.
I'm thinking about starting a podcast for the Women's World Cup.
Yeah, you should on the Cooligans Network.
Yeah, can you do a sub podcast of Frex Hour for the women?
100%. And then when we get canceled, we will I guess have to find all new jobs.
Yeah.
We all go back to the bar.
Yeah, we all go back to the bar where we don't recognize the World Cup.
Oh, you think you're going to get into the Women's World Cup this summer?
I'm going to try. Is it fun? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it as fun?
What time is it going to be? It's going to be dumb early, right? Because it's
It's in Australia, New Zealand. So, yeah, the kickoff times are going to be fairly early, I think.
This is another thing I think that's really working for the World Cup right now is the fall-winter element. I think people need it now. You do not need this in the summer. Who's doing this in the summer?
Every other time. It's happening in the summer.
I know, but just for your average person...
Yeah.
They don't need this. People need this right now. People are hanging on by a thread.
Yeah.
They need this.
Mental health wise, you think it's important to have this in the winter?
I think people can invest right now.
Yeah.
The year is winding down. You're lost at sea.
Mm-hmm.
Grab onto the World Cup.
You spend all your money.
We'll bring you home.
It's free. Turn on the TV.
And then I think the fact that they play at night really works for them because it makes it feel more epic. Whereas the daylight games feel very rec league.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Frex
I don't think they should be playing in daylight.
Games with sun.
No.
She don't like it.
Yeah, some of these kickoff times in the local time, like this, the Argentina-Netherlands game ended in the day after.
After
midnight.
So. I wonder what time they wake up.
The players?
Yeah, you think they party over there? No. They don't take a chance.
We'll find out like in a month or two. We'll start to get pictures leaking of them.
Do you think they even drink though? Or it's like they have to be physical top.
No, some
players don't really care.
They don't care. Even these guys, but they have to be. They're not.
There's a player named Jack Wilshere who's one of my favorite players ever for Arsenal. He was known for smoking an entire pack of cigarettes in the showers after the game.
Wow. To open the lungs.
Yeah. Whatever. A man after your own heart.
Yeah. So you always got to open the lungs. I'll smoke a cigarette right now.
Open the lungs. I know the doctor. I know that's the medical terms.
Medical advice. Here. Medical advice. Open the lungs.
Dr. Frex weighs in again.
Well, listen, Frex, this has been amazing. Where can people watch the show? Where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Lil Frex, LilFrexxx. That's Lil Frex with three X's. Okay. We put out a lot of content over there.
Yeah. It's not what you think. It's not.
Yeah, no, it's not. Three X's is misleading. It's not sexy at all. It's like literally floating head videos.
It's you with a pizza box sign behind you giving people advice.
It's exactly.
Yeah.
Correct.
It's
and
pretty great.
If you want to watch League of Their Own, it's on Amazon Prime. Shout out Jeff. And
Bezos?
Yeah. JB.
At first, I thought maybe this is the producer of the show.
No.
But no, it's your homie Bezos.
He's sort of like one of the billionaires not, you know, totally embarrassing themselves at the moment. So that's not
Yeah, give
not
him
bad.
Time. Yeah. He'll get there.
Jeffy B.
He'll get there. He's young.
He's a good dude. Cubano. Cuban.
Who?
Cuban. Jeff Bezos.
Oh, good for
Look
him.
At that.
There you go.
Give me some of the money, Jeff.
Damn, bro. You claim him? I didn't realize.
A billion? Yeah, no. You hit a billy. We cousins. That's how it works. Thank you, everybody. Flex, ladies and gentlemen.
Flex, no.
Frex. Again.
You sound like the 40-year-old women are like, Lil Frex, Lil Flex, Lil Frex.
I used to do a show with a guy named Flex, so that messed me up. Lil Frex, everybody.
Thank you for having me. An honor.
Cheers.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lil Frex, everybody, huh?
Let's go.
What an interview. Absolutely incredible. Super funny.
Delightful. She's a great comic, like she said. Make sure you follow her on Instagram and watch her on A League of Their Own on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. Super funny. I love her perspective of whatever, as long as the guys are hot. So, I mean, it's literally, take it right out of our mouths.
Okay. Look, you get people in the door however you get them in the door.
Hey,
okay.
You know? It's like a cartoon. You put the pie in the windowsill and you see the bear flown in. Whatever gets that bear flown in. You feel me?
Okay. And it's probably cocaine because it's a cocaine bear.
Right, cocaine bear, which you can watch right after you watch A League of Their Own. Let's talk about the first game. What a horrific turn of events for Brazil.
Brazil, Croatia, this game, there's something about the World Cup because there's so much at stake that a nil-nil game should be boring pretty much any other time. But when the margins of error are so close and anything could sort of shift the feelings of an entire nation, nil-nil only raises the tension throughout the game.
Horrifically on the edge of your seat. My buddy Nick, who came to watch the game with us here, the second game, he texted me this morning before the Brazil game, and he goes, I just put a bet in on DraftKings, by the way, and he said, all I need is for Brazil to score in regular time. And I was like, buddy, you might as well start. Go look for what you're going to buy with your money, okay? Because it's Croatia, baby. There's no chance they're not scoring. They're playing amazing. And agony for 90 straight minutes.
Yeah. Just the poorest. Brazil, did they play poor? Like Richarlison got subbed off.
Right.
He didn't do anything in this game after having a great tournament.
Making
so far.
A name for himself. He put his name on the map in the tournament
Without
so far.
But the Croatia'd.
Yes.
They they did what they do. Mm-hmm. They frustrate teams. They're not, their focus is not like, you know, joga bonito, nothing.
No. There is no finesse. There is no dancing. They are a militant soccer team.
Bro. But the fact that they were so composed and even after giving up the goal in extra time, remarkable. I mean, I think a lot of people are saying this about Brazil. Like, after they went up, they were playing a little too arrogant. And I'm like, what are you talking? Like, they took everything that's been happening throughout the tournament, them dancing and all this other stuff. And there's like, and now they need just, 6 minutes left? They need to hold on for 6 minutes? This is when they decide to be arrogant. That wasn't the case, but they did tactically, I think, play not cautious enough. Like, not just five at the back, hold on.
Yeah, they never parked the bus. It's a party bus. You can't park it. You got to keep going, you know?
And I give credit, even though they couldn't hold on, but Argentina did try and just, they stood back, five at the back. I believe it was five at the back. They were defending. They tried their best. They failed at it, and they ended up, it worked out in the end. But I think it's an unfair criticism of Brazil, even though it was heartbreaking to see Neymar in tears. They had it. And, a deflection. They just, they probably should have had that second goal and they couldn't, finish that. But I can't not feel bad for Brazil. I'm wearing the Brazil kit. This was I always said my brother was the one that really got me into the sport. He used to travel around the world, bring me kits from from different countries. And this is a Ronaldinho kit that he got me. So,
yeah. You wearing it, I'm like, dude, they lost. Why are you wearing this shirt? It's gut-wrenching for Neymar because you could see after the match how much it meant to him. You could see him really show a lot of emotion, crying. The player I feel worse for is Marquinhos. The shot where they have the camera on him and on his face during the penalty as it clangs off the post and he looks up and holds his face. It's like a bad actor being shot in the back in like a SVU. It was gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
Gut-wrenching to see.
The goalkeeper, what's his name?
Livakovic or something like that? Lukovic?
Livakovic. Had one of the greatest games of his career.
To have it.
Incredible stops. Like, Brazil didn't, they had a couple really, really good chances, but,
that Neymar goal is legendary.
That Neymar goal, just it felt a little bit like we saw how Livakovic stopped so many shots and he played the goal that I think the shot that Neymar took that he was trying to nutmeg him and mm-hmm. and Livakovic had his back leg down right at the right moment before the ball could go through his legs. Neymar, you saw he remembered every moment, every experience he had with the keeper, and he was like, all right, so that's why he took that extra touch when he got that
ball.
It's like
ball that Terminator vision. He was like, 4% chance, 0% chance.
It was incredible. But I think with Croatia, their main thing is that Lovren was saying, like, they didn't stop believing and they had all the heart and stuff like that. But they just play that they are not trying to do anything fancy at all. They brought in just like the Petkovic, I think the guy who scored, absolute unit when he took off his shirt. It's just that they're bringing the muscle.
Yeah, from Dinamo Zagreb, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, just an absolute, these guys are just like, Brazil's training by dancing. These guys are breaking cinder blocks. You know what I mean? this is before the game.
Yeah.
It's just, these are massive human beings. And they're like, look, there's nothing fancy about what we're going to do. We're going to play one way, and then we're going to beat you with it over time. Eventually, something will happen. And I just want to give a shout-out to Luka Modric, bro.
Yeah.
How many times is this man at his age going to have to play 120 minutes?
He's 37.
He ain't got the legs, bro.
He's 37. And there was an extra time. There was one play where he, like, got past a man, and I think he sent in a cross or something. And I'm like, bro, how's he doing this?
Bro.
These guys, especially in the goal, the Croatia goal, you could just tell they were tired. Danilo was running back, and as soon as he was running back to try to stop a pass, I'm like, this guy's done. I just knew it. I'm like, he doesn't want to be here anymore.
Yeah. He wants to go home, bro.
He wants to go home, and you could sense it. And it was a deflection. You're gonna get lucky at some point. Something's gonna happen. But that's where I think you saw the difference. Brazil should have played a lot more cautious there when that ball came in. The fullback, I forgot who it was, but the fullback was, I mean, he was way too far. There were four players running back, and there was just like no fullbacks on camera. And when you just got to hold on for a few more minutes, they tried to just press Croatia to make a mistake, and Modric is the one who sent that ball in.
You can't press Modric. That's what he wants.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
So unfortunate.
It's just this is the second World Cup where he's been like the player of the moment, and yet it still feels like he's underrated somehow.
Yeah, because he's not filling up the stat sheets. He's just doing the right things to put everybody else in a good position. And he's just one of these midfielders that just always makes the right decision. I mean, that is one of the things about this game that differentiates, you know, players, you know, the stars from just a casual player. It's just Messi is another. They just make the right decision.
Yeah.
In the moments that it seems impossible for them to make that decision. So
they are mistakeless. There's a great picture that I saw on Instagram of Luka Modric, and he dresses kind of like a normie. You know what I mean? He doesn't dress like a footballer. He doesn't have any outlandish. I do think we need to fix the fit. Maybe this is why he's not getting the recognition. But there was a picture of him in just dad pants and shirt feeding a bear. And it's a quote from him. It's not real, obviously, but it says he's talking to the bear. He goes, "If you ever see me in the woods fighting another bear, help the bear." So stupid, but pretty on point for Luka Modric. Yeah. The man doesn't smile. He doesn't frown. He grimaces sometimes, but that's it. The man is focused on doing something magical at least every 30 minutes.
Yeah, I did not think, Croatia would get this far in the tournament. I didn't think they would repeat what they did in 2018.
With essentially the same team.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple younger guys on the team, but it is still pretty remarkable that the old players or older players that they still have on the team are not like weak links or have been that much of a risk. To keep Brazil scoreless for 90 minutes is incredibly impressive. Yeah,
wildly impressive, especially with the amount of talent they have. Yeah. Let's talk about Argentina versus Netherlands. Who did you think was going to win this game? I picked Argentina. I think you did as well.
I did as well. Yeah, I did.
Were there moments in the game where you questioned your decision? Because there were for me as well.
No, Argentina didn't create that many chances. Netherlands are a good defensive team, and I think they played the game I expected. And then when you see the first goal, who was it that scored? Molina scores the first goal, and the way he even gets the ball gets to him, and it's a goddamn miracle. Yeah, it takes a moment of absolute magic. A deity is the only person that can get that ball through that many players.
Right, and it just so happened that's what they have on their team.
Okay, and so when that goal went in, I'm like, yo, this is what it was going to take, because Netherlands, their back four is unreal. They're just absolute beasts. Even their fullbacks are insanely fast. Just all technically gifted, tall. Yeah. That's what it was going to take. And then the penalty.
I mean, literally, as far into the. I mean, as far like as close to outside the box as possible.
Yeah.
To get a penalty.
And Acuña, I thought had a. I didn't think he had a good game at all. And he got the yellow, so he's going to be missed the next game.
Doesn't it refresh after the next? Well, I guess you still have to, Because after, you got it in this one. It refreshes in the next one, but you already got
after the semifinal. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm not I'm surprised they gave up two goals late in the game to go to extra time.
Well, you weren't here, but I literally said to the group of people that were watching with us, I said, hey, 2-0, one of the most dangerous score lines. And Frex goes, well, why? And I said, because if they score one, then that gives them momentum to score another. You usually get a little bit of momentum after you score, and they're all of a sudden it's going to be like, oh no, we're only up by one goal. We have to stop everything or else it's draw. And as I said that, Wenghorst scores a goal. And I was like, oh my God. And Harry's like, dude, it's starting. And it happened. Literally what I said was going to happen happened. Well, and this is the danger of a 2-0. But I am floored with the way Argentina was playing, which is essentially, go ahead, kick the ball. We're going to kick you. You know, we're going to cause issues. We're going to make it seem like you're fouling us when you're not. We're going to kick the ball at your bench. All these crazy things they were doing, and it almost didn't really disrupt Netherlands. But the balls for that penalty, for that free kick, to pass it, I've never, with the basically the last kick of the game.
Yeah. If that doesn't work, you know how bad.
You look like an idiot.
You know, and even before that, because I want to talk about the free kick more, but I want to make sure we were talking up Louis van Gaal after the U.S. game and the masterclass that he did. I mean, he tactically, he did all the right things. And I'll say he did the same. He did pretty well against Argentina. They were down 2-0, but I think tactically they were still, they did what they could. I mean, Messi's Messi, right?
Right.
But then... But the decision to take off Memphis Depay and just be like, bring in the 9-footers, bro. Bring in the giant. Right. He was like, I don't care about any tactics anymore.
He brought in the Iceland team. That's what he did, bro.
He said, I'm done with all this. Get these papers out of my face.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm done with swag. I don't want no more swag. I want height.
Yeah, dude. I mean, and you would even think like, yo, maybe they should have played that way early on. I mean, the conversation about Lisandro Martinez's height and being a center back, it's always a conversation in the Premier League and a talking point. But LVG was like, yeah, it is a talking point because it's real, bro. Let's get some giants in there.
Louis van Gaal at one point was like, listen, what is short ass going to do against these dudes, bro?
Okay, all right. This is 2022 is the, no more short kings. We're done with that.
Nah, bro. We done. Napoleon complex. You dusty, bro. It was impressive. Wenghorst scored, what, in the 90th plus 11 minutes? Something crazy like that?
Yeah, what was the actual... I don't know the actual moment.
It was just absolutely... I mean, I don't think I've ever... I don't even think in a FIFA video game I've ever thought to myself, I should pass it to the guy right there to turn and shoot. There's too much on the line.
It never works.
And that's in a World Cup match.
Dude, I mean, look, the AI defending is good enough to stop that. I don't know.
Well, look, we're all doing the AI photos. Maybe the Argentina team should have done that, bro.
Yeah,
they could use a little AI defending.
And I think that was another just example of like, all right, who is matching up against Weghorst right now? All right, it's a small dude. Let's just give him the ball and see what happens. And
but also, you don't think they go towards his head? He's the tallest guy there.
But it was pretty. It was about a yard off of the at the top of the box or whatever. It's a very very difficult shot to get up and down over the wall and into the goal. So
certainly with speed, that's a floater.
Yeah. So it was a bold decision. I mean, I'm trying to think if it's like. A QB sneak, a Hail Mary. What is the equivalent of like, to compare it to any other sport? But it was
It's a fake field goal.
It's such a bold decision because again, it could look really, really bad. But the odds are in a bit of in your favor when the dude you're passing the ball to has a foot and a half over the defender and can physically dominate. And you saw him. Just shield the defender. His height really wasn't the biggest factor there, but he is a big dude. But he just shielded the defender, hit and tapped the ball, and they did not see it coming at all.
There's just no way to defend around that, especially when everyone in your country is under 6 foot. There's just no way to do it.
Yeah.
You need Manu Ginobili needs to be on the Argentina team if you're gonna get a shot against Banghorst, dude.
So yeah, it was a wild game that ended up going into extra time. And how did you feel about the penalties? I thought what was gonna happen was the same thing that happened to Brazil, but I was impressed with the penalty kick takers were fine, but Emi Martinez really his antics worked again, and I think that's gonna be the biggest advantage they have going forward. If
te vas a cagar, yo te conozco. That is to this day one of the most devastating things you could say to somebody. You're gonna shit the bed, dude. Trust me, I know you. I know everything about you. It is just the things that he does. You know, look, he did this at Arsenal. Right. He also did this in Copa America. We've seen this twice. You know what he's going to do. And there's just no one better than him at it. The little dance after, you know, he saves the second one. It's just everything he wanted was working. And then even when he missed, picked the wrong side, he would like celebrate. He was still getting in people's heads. It's just a masterclass on something like that. But, you know, we've talked a little bit about Neymar didn't get a chance to even kick a penalty. Which is a real shame. So we were sitting here and we were all talking about like, what do? Do you put your best player up first? And Nick was like, yeah, you got to put your best player up. And I'm like, well, if they miss, the rest of the team's like, well, we can't do it. You know, we can't. So when I saw the first penalty by Virgil van Dijk, not the player I would have picked, but his penalty gets saved. And then Messi's walking up to me. I'm like, Argentina got this. Messi's built for these moments. There's no way he's missing here.
The last penalty Virgil van Dijk took, I think, was in the FA Cup final that I remember seeing. And he also went left. I think he usually goes left, but he hits the ball so hard that it doesn't matter if you know where he's going. You probably can't stop it. But I think Emi Martinez just did like, all right, he's probably going to go here. Let me just throw myself in that direction, and maybe, you know, he'll hit it to me, and I think that's it. That's exactly what happened. And so he stopped the first two, and it just puts Argentina in just such a psychological advantage. And they cut it close. Enzo Fernandez hits it wide there, clearly overthinking that penalty. But the man who misses, you know, the Lukaku of Argentina, Lautaro Martinez, finishes it for them. But
and that's the frustrating thing is Lautaro Martinez now had a good game.
<It's> like, you know what I mean?
There's no proof that he had a good game other than that penalty.
I thought he had a pretty good game as well. There was that one shot he took where he let the ball go by him, and he turned around and got a good shot on frame that the keeper stopped. They got too close, I'd say. But I think a deserved win. I mean, the Netherlands, they played a great game, and obviously added them tying it in the way that they did. It's just one of those things where you're like, nah, I mean, you expect the World Cup to be good, but not this good. Wow.
This is the best World Cup in my lifetime, for sure.
It's so incredible, the drama around it. And, you know, I think I mentioned this a couple of days ago, but just if they add 48 teams and it changes this in any way, you know, that'll be something just to be super disappointing. But
are you kidding me? You don't want to see San Marino, you know, go through to the semis on penalties?
Yeah, dude.
You know, the dentist, Rob Strong's gonna have a lot. John Strong's gonna have a lot to talk about. You know,
okay.
It's been an absolutely incredible. I missed the World Cup for two straight days. I was just like, come on, please, somebody play a game. Luckily, I was getting absolutely physically abused at physical therapy just to heal up this terrible back that I have. But look at this. We're like cartoons. We should have like X's on our faces. We're both beat up right now. You're at home. I'm limping up and down the subway stairs, going up and down the steps with both legs now, which is impressive. So we're getting there. It's been an absolutely incredible tournament. France, England, do you want to give a prediction?
Man, look, I'm going to have to say, I think This is going to be a little wild, maybe, but I think England wins in penalties.
They've never done that in a World Cup.
There's an opportunity for a huge upset here.
They're going to excise the demons, dude?
Yeah.
The demons?
I would say for every England, France, there's a lot of position. If you do a combined 11, I might say that it might be like 6-5 England over France. Like,
who cares? It would be 11-0 England to America, and they couldn't beat us, bro. what do you think, Morocco, Portugal? By the way, I think France wins, and I think France wins pretty easily. But what do you think about Morocco, Portugal?
Morocco, Portugal. I I'm going to go for the upset. I think Morocco.
Morocco?
I think Morocco. I think, and they do it in penalties as well.
Does Ronaldo start?
You'd have to be, no. There's no way after the game.
he spent 2 days yipping, bro.
Nah, bro.
He's politicking, trying to get that start. I think I could see Morocco get through. Honestly, same.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be Morocco France. Damn, bro.
Would love to see it. All right, we'll see.
Against their former colonists.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure they have a lot to discuss.
Geopolitically speak, it's going to be a fun game. This has been an absolutely incredible tournament. Christian, please feel better. We need you. Little eagle screech so that you could feel the strength of America. Yes. Thank you, Harry, for everything, because this would not be happening. If it wasn't for him. It would literally be me FaceTiming. Christian would be like, I don't know, dude, film it. And we'll figure it out. Shouts to Lil Frex as well for hanging out. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Hey, if you're enjoying what we're doing, hit the share button, will you? Tell your little followers. We're working real hard.
Tell your big followers, too. It's all good.
Tell everybody. Hey, listen, if you know people with the blue check, tell them how dope this show is. Thank you to all of our new listeners. We're getting such amazing messages.
They paid $8 for it, so, you got to let them know.
Oh, super important. And for those of you who have that, we know that when you click the blue, it tells you if you subscribed or not. Thank you to everyone. Thank you to all of our new listeners and everybody who's just finding us. We've been getting such dope messages. People telling you, I had no idea who you guys were. Shouts to all of you. You guys are absolutely incredible. Welcome aboard.
Yes. And a reminder, I hope I will be there, but this weekend in Clifton, New Jersey, and in Brooklyn Bridge Park at noon, we will be hosting soccer clinics with McDonald's. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope I will be there. I'm hoping I test negative. The Cooligans, at the very least, Alexis will be there. So
This Cooligans thing. You're making me do this on my own, bro. If you're a family, if you know, a couple of people messaged me that they have a team of kids that are going to come by. I believe it's just for 10 and under.
Yes.
So that is important. So don't be bringing out your U18s trying to run a clinic here. If you've got kids under the age of 10 or 10 or under and you want them to come by, please bring them by. It's absolutely free. It'll be fun. On Saturday at 1 p.m., if I'm not mistaken?
At noon.
Okay, Saturday at noon, we're going to be in the Athenia Complex in Clifton, New Jersey. And then on Sunday, same time, noon, I remember that, Christian didn't have to remind me, we're going to be at Brooklyn Bridge Pier 5. So come hang out. Watch me limp all over the place as I talk into a mic by myself, unless Christian could get that godforsaken disease out of him.
Yes, Alexis needs a regular clinic, not a soccer clinic right now.
Yeah. Watch me on a gurney in the middle of the pitch.
So come through. Hopefully I'm there. Hopefully we could say hello to everybody. All right. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode. The remaining quarterfinal matches will be happening tomorrow.
And I don't want this World Cup to end, but I also need it to end.
Okay. Alexa's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks after this World Cup.
100%, bro. me and Gabriel Jesus, we outward knee injury, bro. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Harry. Hey, look, DraftKings got to mention, huh? Also, hey, AutoZone, get in the zone. AutoZone. Take care.